If you've ever been to Colorado, you need to go to see one of the most amazing wonders of the world. It's called the Royal Gorge. And it is a huge cavernous canyon that the Arkansas River flows through. And there's a bridge called the Royal Gorge Bridge. And up until a few years ago, when the Chinese built this bridge, the Royal Gorge Bridge was the highest bridge in the world. Because from the top of the bridge down to the canyon floor is 1,053 feet. It's an amazing, amazing, amazing bridge. How they constructed it is amazing. And to go there and to look down and to see the little tiny Arkansas River from the Royal Gorge is absolutely amazing. Now, I have a friend, when we lived in Colorado, I have a friend named John. And he went to visit the Royal Gorge Bridge with his family when he was a young kid. And when mom and dad weren't looking, his two older brothers picked him up, held him by his feet over the side of the bridge. And he started screaming. And mom and dad turned around, and words cannot exclaim what she felt and the anger that she unleashed on these two young boys. Now, when he told me the story, I was a little bit disconcerted because I have two older brothers. And I am absolutely convinced that if given the opportunity to hold me over the bridge, they may have let go. But apparently his brothers were pretty trustworthy because John said, I knew that he wouldn't let me go. I knew that they wouldn't let me go. I knew the mom would have him if they did. So I trusted him. Now, picture that image, just if you will, of two boys holding their younger brother over the bridge. And that if they let go, he falls to his death. And he has to have complete and total trust in them. Because I want you to keep that image in front of you as we go through this sermon, because today we're going to talk about trust, but we're going to talk about trust in relationships. And in every relationship that we have, if it is a authentic, true relationship with another person, the fact is that other person in some respect has a part of you that they've been entrusted to that they could easily drop, and it could be a very difficult thing in your life. And wouldn't it be great if all of our relationships were with people that we trusted? Wouldn't it be great if we always had authentic relationships with other people, and we know that when push came to shove, when the time came in that relationship, that we need their trust, that they wouldn't just let go of us and leave us plummeting down to our death? Well, there's an app for that. And today we're going to talk about the trust app because relationships need trust. Now, as we've gone through this sermon series, we started about 3 weeks ago. We looked at confession. We looked at forgiveness. Last week, we looked at rest. And today, we're going to look at trust with respect to relationships. Every single one of us wants a relationship where we can trust. And it is so important for our development. So, to begin with, I'd like to go back to 1 Corinthians 13 that was read this morning. Now, in my opinion, 1 Corinthians 13 is the most beautiful, beautiful verses in Scripture. It's also known as the love chapter. And as a matter of fact, it is so beautiful, many of you may have had 1 Corinthians 13 read at your wedding. It's a stunningly beautiful depiction about what love is. And as a matter of fact, Paul, when he starts writing 1 Corinthians, the first 6 verses talks about how important love is. That if you don't have love, you don't have anything. But then in verse 7, Paul starts to think about, okay, what exactly is love? Or in verse 4, Paul says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. That's a good one, isn't it? I mean, when we forgive, when we're in that loving relationship, we're supposed to forgive and forget, and we do that, don't we? Although some of us have a hard time with that, some of us have file cabinets. January 15th, 1989. Ah, yes, I remember that. But in Paul's description of love, he says, no, it keeps no records of wrongs. And then he goes on in verse 6. He says, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. There's something about the truth that is necessary in a loving relationship. But then as Paul thinks about it, he says, you know, I think there's something more. I think if I'm describing what love is, I've gone through all these things, but there are some absolutes in a loving relationship. And he writes them down. He writes four absolutes in verse 7. He says it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. But look at that second one. It always trusts. If you want a loving, authentic relationship with somebody else, trust must be a part of that relationship. And yet there are so many times where we get into a relationship and we don't trust the other person. Isn't that the truth? Because, why is that? We're sinful people. We've not done great things in our lives. And we've entrusted ourselves to other people, and as we've done that, people have taken that information about us and they've used it against us. How many times has that happened in our life? And when they use that information against us, we start to put up barriers. We start to put up what I call masks. So that what people see isn't the real us. What they see is a mask that we've fabricated that people see that's who that person is. And when we develop this mask, it is a very dangerous situation. But sometimes it's necessary to protect who we are and to protect our psyche. And so we live in this world where we want to protect ourselves with the mask, and yet having that mask is very difficult for a couple reasons. One is that sometimes people have developed such a huge mask that it takes an incredible amount of energy to keep that mask going. I think about Star Trek. Have to have a sermon with Star Trek. I'm thinking about the Starship Enterprise, and it's being attacked by the Romulans. And what do? They put all the energy out there on the force field to protect themselves. And sometimes we live our lives with the mask that is so important to us that we protect ourselves, that we put all of our energy on that mask. And by the end of the day, we are exhausted by that. But there's a second, more dangerous reason why you shouldn't have a mask all the time. And that is this. When people look at you, are they looking at you, really you, or are they looking at the mask? And if you get into a relationship, you are constantly questioning yourself, do they love me, or do they love the mask of me that I've let them see? And I can't tell you how many times counselors get in a room with people and they say, I just am so tired of this person that I'm pretending to be, and I just want to be me. I want to get rid of the mask. I want to have a loving, trusting relationship with other people. If you want to have an authentic, trusting relationship with another person, you have to deal with that mask. Because it is an important part of who you are. And if you want to go through this life with real trusting relationships, you have to deal with that mask. Now, how do you do it? Well, the first thing you need to understand actually comes from 1 Samuel 16, 7b. Now, what happened was that Saul was going to be dethroned by God as the king. And Samuel now has to find another king. And Jesse brings all his sons, and the first son that he brings is Eliab, all right, David's older brother. And he is big and strong, and he's Arnold Schwarzenegger. And as soon as Samuel sees him, he says, that's it, that's the future king of Israel. But God speaks to Samuel, and what does he say? He says, the Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Let me tell you something. For God, there are no masks. And you maybe think you're putting a mask in front of God, but folks, he sees right through it. He doesn't look at your outward appearance. He looks at the inside. He looks at who you truly are. Down at your very core, that's what God looks at, and that's what he sees. And let me tell you something. When Jesus Christ came into this world, he was a totally authentic person. He didn't have a mask at all. He lived a perfect life, exposing all of his vulnerabilities to everybody. When he was tired, he slept. When he was angry, he got angry. When he was emotionally at the end of his rope, he went off and prayed, and he didn't try to show that he was a Superman in front of everybody. When he went to Lazarus's house because Lazarus had died, he wept. Jesus was an authentic person who didn't show masks, and he lived a perfect life for you. So that when he died and redeemed you, he didn't redeem the masks that you wear. He redeemed you inside of who you really are. That's who God has redeemed. And if that's the case, if God has redeemed you, if God loves you for who you are, irregardless of what the masks are that you wear, folks, that is a pretty impressive thing. Because there's two ways to deal with masks in your life. And there are very, very many world systems and religions out there that tell you how to deal with the masks, and there's one of two ways to do it. One is you can live a perfect life, and so there you're not afraid to share your life with anybody else because it's perfect. Or the second is to put up a mask so that people only see the perfect life that you live. But see, for Christianity, for who we are as God's people, we've been redeemed. We don't have to wear a mask. God loves us for who we are. He's redeemed us for who we are. He doesn't care about the masks. He's redeemed you. And Christianity is probably the only religion out there where you can expose yourself, who you are, to God. And he says, I know, because I created you that way, but I still redeemed you. And I love you for who you are. And not for the masks that you wear. That's a powerful thing. Because if you can cling on to that, if you can cling on to the fact that God loves you, then that means that when you start talking to other people and having relationships with other people, they may fail you, but God will never fail you. Look at John 14, verse 1, where God says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." You can trust God. When you enter into relationships with other people, they may fail you. You may fail them. But God never fails you. And if you're dangling over the Royal Gorge Bridge with somebody else's holding on to your life, and they let go of you, you've got a safety net of God that will never, ever let you go. God has redeemed you. And that is the basis for trust. That is the basis for any authentic relationship. We are, about 2 or 3 years ago, we did our strategic plan, and out of that came out of core values. And one of our core values was that we wanted this church to be a friendly church. But not just a friendly church, it was going to be a friendly church that resulted in authentic relationships. And here is a church. Wouldn't it be a great place that when you come into the doors of this church, that you can take off the masks that you wear throughout the week, and you can let people see you for who you are and know that God redeems you for who you are? And it takes an incredible amount of trust. But wouldn't it be great if this congregation trusted each other so much that that would happen? I know so many people take a lot of comfort in the fact that me as a pastor, that at my ordination, I had to take a vow that said that anything that was ever revealed to me about anybody else, that I would never, ever divulge that to anybody else. And there was a Supreme Court or a federal court decision this last week that said that they wanted the pastor to actually testify. And I tell you, I have taken an ordination vow. I would go to jail before I would ever, ever violate a confidence that any of you have shared with me. It's that important. It's that important to God. And I'm so excited about this program that we're starting. We're beginning to begin the foundation for this program called Stephen Ministry. And we're going to train people on listening and caring for other people. But one of the things that they have to do in order to be a Stephen minister is they also have to take that vow. I will never divulge anything that you've shared with me, ever. And that's a pretty powerful thing. Because relationships, true, deep, authentic relationships, loving relationships take trust. And they need that trust. There was a story about a young man, about a father, who wanted to teach his young boy about trust. He says, I want to show you something. I want to teach you something today. And the boy said, sure, what? He says, I want you to get up on the picnic table, and I'm going to back up, and I want you to jump into my arms. And the boy says, Dad, I don't want to do that. I'm afraid. He says, trust me. You can do this. So the boy said, okay. And he jumped. And the father stepped away, and the boy fell on the ground. And the father went up to him. He says, that's going to teach you something. You can never trust anybody. That was the lesson that he wanted to teach. And there are a lot of people in our lives who have closed ourselves in because we feel like we can't trust anybody. Let me tell you something. You've been redeemed by a heavenly Father that loves you for who you are and who will never let you go because he loves you that much. You can always trust in him. In Jesus' name, amen. 'Cause you put the light in me, the spark, the shot to the